going to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Very familiar verses that we preach from many times, verse 14 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 14 and verse 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So you get the context of these verses. In verse 9, we notice the words, "we labor," which conveys the idea of being ambitious. In chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, "We then as workers, together with him." I believe beginning with verse 9 of chapter 5, Paul brings some things that motivated him to labor, some things that motivated him to work in the cause of Christ, some things that drove him. He mentions many of those things in this chapter, verse 9, that we may be accepted of him. In other words, he labored, he worked in order to please the Lord, and certainly that ought to be a driving force in our life to please the Lord. In verse 10, he mentioned the judgment seat of Christ, something we often forget about, but that also should have some motivation, should be somewhat of a motivating factor to us. Verse 11, he mentions the fact that men are lost and exposed to the judgment of God. That also should motivate us. But what we want to notice here in verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. This was also a motivating factor in his life. And then down in verse 20, he mentions the fact that he was an ambassador for Christ, so his position also was a motivation to Paul. But all of these things that Paul has mentioned were very real to Paul, and they were things that were constantly and continually upon his mind. But again, we want to consider what I believe to be perhaps the greatest motivator in service to the Lord, and that is the love of Christ that Paul makes mention of here in verse 14. And it was that love of Christ that made Paul so ambitious, so zealous, so passionate, so on fire and so diligent in serving the Lord. So I want to speak from those words this morning, the love of Christ constraineth us. I want to speak upon the subject of compelled by the Savior's love. But first of all, we need to determine what is meant by that phrase, the love of Christ. Is it our love to him, or is it his love for us? We have heard it preached both ways, and I suppose you can preach it both ways, but verse 14 obviously is talking about Christ's love for us, and not our love for him. Because he mentions in the context that Christ died for us, which of course is an act of his love. And Paul, perhaps better than anyone, understood doctrinally, theologically. Paul had an understanding of Christ's love. It was something that he wrote about. It was something that he talked about. It was something that he was, more importantly, very, very aware of in his life, the love of Christ. And we can know about it doctrinally. We can be straight about it theologically. But it will serve us much more to be very aware that Jesus Christ loves me. We need to be aware. We need to be acutely aware of that. We need to believe that. We need to be persuaded that it is so. The love of Christ for Paul was his conviction. He had the conviction that Jesus Christ loved him. He had the assurance that Jesus Christ loved him. It was a reality in his everyday life. No matter what was going on, that was something that was very real to him. The love of Christ. Ever since the day the Lord saved his soul, the love of Christ was something that he personally experienced. The love of Christ is not just something we experienced the day the Lord saved us. Certainly we did experience it then. But it is something that we ought to experience every day. Something that we ought to know every day. Something that we ought to be assured of every day. Something that we ought to have some understanding of, though we cannot fully understand the love of Christ. It is something that we ought to have some understanding of. The love of Christ, that is, the love that Christ has for us, is truly a unique love. Our problem today is that many times when we consider the love of Christ or we try to explain the love of Christ, we put it in terms that only we can understand. We put it in human terms. And though that is really the only way we can explain the love of Christ is to put it in human terms, we need to realize that the love of Christ is beyond human terms. That you cannot adequately and do justice to the love of Christ by human language. It's not possible. Anytime we preach on the love of Christ, or you preach on the deity of Christ, or you preach on the greatness of God, that is a message of failure. You cannot possibly preach on the love of Christ and not fail in delivering that message, because you cannot fully explain it. You cannot preach on the greatness of God and get done and think, wow, I really did a good job there. You feel like an utter failure, because you cannot explain the greatness of God. But this is a love that goes beyond ordinary love. It is a love that has no comparison. And do realize, any time that you try to make a comparison to Christ's love, you are diminishing Christ's love. There is nothing that you can compare it to. Nothing. You cannot compare it to the love of a mother. There's no comparison. Because the truth is, if your mom knew everything about you that God does, she probably wouldn't love you. There is no comparison. It is a love that is unprecedented. It is a love that is unique, so great that it cannot be fully described, so great that it cannot be fully defined, so great that you cannot possibly measure it. It is an unprecedented love. It is a love that is amazing. It is the most wondrous of all love. It is the most unique of all love. First of all, it is a love that is eternal. The love of Christ, the love that Christ has toward me, is everlasting. It had no beginning. It has no end. All other love may cease or may diminish in time through various circumstances, but not this one. This is a love that is eternal. This is a love that is immutable. It is not only eternal, but it is unchanging in its degree and fervency. That means that Jesus Christ does not love me any more today than he did in the beginning. And he does not love me any less today than he did in the beginning. His love is unchanging. It is a perfect love. It is a love that cannot be turned away by my unworthiness. My unworthiness does not turn away his love. It is a love that is not turned back due to the fact that I do not properly respond to the love of Christ. There is not one of us here today that properly responds to the love of Jesus Christ. And if you had a human being that you loved, but they never, ever showed you any response to your love, you would have a problem. And we do not properly respond to the love of Christ. Not one of us ever has properly responded to the love of Christ. In fact, there are many days we show no response to the love of Jesus Christ. There are days in which we do not think about the love of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know his love is immutable. His love is not turned back due to the fact that I do not properly respond to his love. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. It is a love that is not wearied because of my acts. It is a love that never grows cold. It is a love that never wanes. It is truly an amazing and unique love. There isn't anything like it. It is eternal. It is immutable. Something we do not understand, because every love we have is somewhat conditional. It is a love that is unconditional. It is a love that is uninfluenced. The love of Christ for me, there is absolutely no cause for it outside of God himself. You say, I don't understand why or how God could love me. There's only one reason. He wanted to. It's the only reason. There is absolutely nothing in us. There is absolutely nothing outside of God himself as a reason for his love. He does not love us because he loved your parents. He does not love you because he loved your aunts and uncles or your grandparents. That's not why he loves you. It's not because of any of our friends. It's not because of any of our acquaintances, but I'll tell you, he loves me in spite of my parents, because my parents are just as sinful as I am. He loves me in spite of my grandparents. He loves me in spite of my friends. He loves me in spite of my acquaintances. He loves me simply because he wanted to. And that's it. It is an unconditional, uninfluenced love. Not because of anything worthy in me. Not because of any merit in me. Not because of any so-called excellence. Not because of any deserving that we have. None of us are deserving of the love of Jesus Christ. There isn't anything in us that would prompt God to love us. There isn't anything in us that would stimulate God to love us. There isn't anything in us that would motivate God to love us. The doctrine today that God chose you because he saw that you would choose him, that is based upon your human goodness. And that's conditional. That's conditional. And I want to say, if God's love is conditional, then he can fall out of love for some reason in yourself as well. There is nothing in us to attract God's love. Nothing. The love of Christ is not a love owed us. It's not a love that we could ever deserve. It's not a love that we could ever, ever earn. It is a love in spite of ourselves. It is truly an amazing and unique love. It is infinite. It is an infinite love. You ask a little child, how much do you love me? I love you this much. To them, that it doesn't get any bigger than that. This is an infinite. This is an infinite love. Again, we've already said it has no beginning. It has no end. It goes beyond everything that stands in its way. It goes beyond all of my sin. It is greater and goes beyond all of my guilt. It is an infinite love. It is a love that is greater and goes beyond all of my shortcomings and all of my needs. It is truly an amazing and unique love. It is a love that is invincible. You think about it, there is no love that has more barriers in the way than the love of Christ. Everywhere you turn, there are barriers to the love of Christ. Yet his love cannot be quenched. His love cannot, many floods cannot drown it. It cannot be extinguished. It cannot be drowned. There isn't anything in me that can quench his love. I mean, my unworthiness cannot be measured. But my unworthiness cannot quench his love. You think about your life. Your rejections of God have been many. But not one of them can separate you or separate his love from you. Our sins, our murmurings, our rebellions, our covetousness, our selfishness, our stubbornness, and so forth. None of these things can quench, can diminish, or separate us from the love of Christ. It is a love that is truly and absolutely invincible. A love that is forever more. Again, it is a love that cannot be turned away by the things that make me unworthy. And may I say, only one sin. If all you'd ever committed in your entire life was one sin, you'd be unworthy of Christ's love. The fact is, you don't even have to sin, and you're unworthy of Christ's love simply because you were born to sinful parents. We're unworthy. It is a love that turns away from no form of sacrifice. Never has there been a love that has done more than Christ. Never has there been a love that has sacrificed more than the love of Jesus Christ. It is a love that truly gave all. None of us have ever given all to anybody. Now, I know some will take offense at that, but you haven't really thought it through. None of us have given everything that we can possibly give to those we say we love. There's only one that has, and that's God. It is a love that moved Christ to become poor, that you and I would be made rich. It was a love that caused him to give his life so that you and I could have life. It was the love of Christ that caused him to go to the cross and to endure what only God himself could endure. It was the love of Christ that caused him willing to be forsaken by God the Father so that you and I would never be forsaken. He voluntarily was despised, was rejected, was hated, and was ridiculed by sinful man, all out of love for me. And I don't believe that it was a general love. I believe it was particular. I believe when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he had on his heart, he had on his mind, every single individual personally that he was there for. We can say, you and I can say, I love my country. By that, you certainly do not mean that you love every single individual in your country. But that is just a general love. I love my country. But when Jesus loved, it was particular. He loved each one of us individually. The love of Christ is a marvel. It is a wonder. When you think about the fact that it is eternal, that it is immutable, it is unconditional, it is uninfluenced, it is infinite, it is invincible. And then you think that that love, that kind of love was extended to those who are unlovable, to those who were estranged from God, to those who were shapen in iniquity and unclean and under the power and pollution of sin. It is a love that makes you wonder. It is a love filled with wonder. It is a love filled with amazement. When you think about how sinful we are, and none of us know how sinful we are, and because we do not know how sinful we are, we don't even know how guilty we really are. We were the enemies of God, depraved, degenerate, and deceitful. And when I think that God loved me, that is a love that makes you wonder. It is a love, again, filled with amazement. When you think about God loving the curser, the filthy mouthed, the liar, how can you not stand in wonder of the love of Christ? When you consider how free his love is, how can you not stand in wonder and amazement of the love of Christ? Then I want you to see the power and influence of the love of Christ. We see that the love of Christ constraineth us. What Paul is saying here is he lived his life feeling the power and the fervency of Christ's love. He lived his life feeling the tenderness, the compassion, the long-suffering of the love of Jesus Christ. In other words, when Paul went to bed at night, he felt the love of Christ. When he got up in the morning, he could feel that Christ loved him. As he went through the day, he could feel the sustaining power of the love of Christ. In his various circumstances, in his various situations, in his trials and in his difficulties, he could feel that Jesus Christ loved him. In times of sorrow and in times of burdens, he could feel and he knew that Jesus Christ loved him. In times of joy, in times of gladness, in times of blessing, he could feel and he knew, Jesus loves me. He loves me. And this was very, very real to him. It was something that he was constantly aware of. And it was something that had a power in his life. It had an influence in his life. How can you possibly think of Jesus Christ loving you and that not have an influence in your life? And then not influence the way you live your life, the way you view your life. Why, if we're aware of the love that Jesus Christ has for us, it is going to have an influence in our life. But he says here that this love constrained him. And that's a very interesting word. That word constraineth. It is the Greek word syneko, and it is translated 12 times in the New Testament. This is the only place where it is translated constraineth. 11 other times it is translated differently, but it gives us the meaning. It gives us the idea of what Paul was talking about when he said, the love of Christ constraineth us. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24, we read, and his, that is Jesus' fame, went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken. And the word taken there is the same word translated constraineth. They were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. They were taken with divers diseases. What that means is they were seized by disease. Disease had seized their life. He mentioned the same thing concerning sickness, and Simon's wife's mother was taken or seized with great fever there in Luke chapter 4 and verse 38. In Luke 8 and verse 37, the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. So that word taken in these three occasions is the same word translated constraineth. So when Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us, or the love of Christ constraineth me, he is saying the love of Christ has seized my life. The love of Christ has seized me. What does that mean? That means that the love of Christ has taken possession of me. The love of Christ has captured me. And I ask you today to consider the love of Jesus Christ. Consider the love of Jesus Christ. And I ask you today, has it taken possession of your being? Has it captured your soul? Or is it just a doctrine? Is it just a point of theology? Paul is saying here, the love of Christ held me. It had a hold upon me. It had a grip upon me. And if something has a hold upon you, if something has a grip upon you, that's going to affect you. It's going to have an influence on your life. If something has a hold upon you, if something has a grip upon you, it's something that you are aware of. It's something that you feel. And the love of Christ is something that we need to be aware of. And it is something that we ought to feel. The love of Christ. In the book of Luke chapter 8 and verse 45, we read, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitudes throng thee. And that word throng is that Greek word synecho. Same word translated, constraineth. And press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? What is it, the throng? Well, that means to press. So the love of Christ pressed upon Paul. If something is pressing upon you, that speaks of a pushing force. Paul felt the pushing force of the love of Jesus Christ. When was the last time you felt the pushing force of the love of Jesus Christ? That word throng carries the idea of squeezing. You're being squeezed in. Paul says, the Lord, the love of Christ constraineth us. Which is another way of saying the love of Christ squeezes me. I can feel it squeezing me. Tell me that won't make a difference in your life. How can you sin against such love when you feel that love squeezing you, holding you, pushing upon you? Luke 12 and verse 50, Jesus said concerning the cross, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and now am I straitened till it be accomplished. And that word straitened again is that same word. And it means to constrict. It means to restrict. It speaks of, again, a force. And Paul is saying the love of Christ is a force in my life. It is a force in my life. In other words, it's something I cannot ignore. It's something that's always there. It's a force in my life. Luke 19 and verse 43, we read the word keep. And that is the same word again. It simply means to be hemmed in. And when Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us, he's saying the love of Christ hems us in. In other words, the love of Christ surrounds me. The love of Christ encircles me. I can feel the presence of the love of Jesus Christ. In the book of Luke chapter 22 and 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And that word held, again, is the same word. And what it means is they arrested him. They restrained him. And the love of Christ lays hold of us. The love of Christ arrests us. The love of Christ restrains us, keeps us. From all of this, we see that the love of Christ was a force. It was a power. It was a working influence in the life of Paul. And when you and I can get a grasp, when we can get a glimpse, and when we can live in the awareness of the one who is infinitely holy, the one who is God himself, that he loves me, when that becomes a force in your life, it's going to make a difference in the way that you live. As we'll see in a little bit, it's going to make a difference in the way that you think. It will drive you. It will motivate you. Christ loves me. That ought to drive me. That ought to motivate me. Living in the awareness of his love should keep me from sin. It should keep me from the greedy desires of the world. It should restrain me from self-seeking. It should restrain me from seeking anything that is displeasing and contrary to God. He loves me. How can I sin against him? He loves me. That ought to keep me from growing cold. That ought to keep me from growing careless and lax in the things of the Lord. He loves me. It ought to be a driving force in our life. It ought to fill our life with passion. It ought to fill our life with excitement and with intensity and with earnestness in the service of the Lord. It ought to cause us to want to worship him. How can I worship him enough? How can I do enough in his service? Tell you what else, it'll give your life purpose. When you know that somebody loves you, when you know that an individual loves you, that gives your life some purpose. It gives your life some meaning. That's why we all need people to love us. It does give us some purpose. It does give us some meaning. But when I think of the love of Christ, that gives my life purpose. That gives my life meaning. But then notice the judgment is influenced. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. But then notice, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. It begins to work in our mind. If Jesus Christ loves me, then it seems to me that I ought to live for him and not myself. It has an influence. It has a force upon our mind. The conviction, the assurance, the awareness of the love of Christ simply says, I must live for him. I have got to live for him. He loves me. I have got to serve him. He loves me. He loves me. And no one else loves me in comparison with Jesus Christ. I've got to serve Him. I've got to live for Him. He loves me. That's the way we begin to think. When the love of Christ is a force in our life. So I ask you today, do you know this love of Christ? You say, oh, I feel so unworthy. That's what makes it so wonderful. Do you know the love of Christ? Do you live in the assurance of the love of Christ? No, I don't, because I've done this and I've done that and I don't see how He could love me. See, you're making it conditional. You need to get away from conditional love. This is unconditional. Do you live in the assurance of the love of Christ? Do you live in the awareness of the love of Christ? Do you live feeling the love of Christ? You know, I'm glad that every day, because not everybody has this, but I'm glad that every day I wake up, I know that I have a family and that there are people that love me. I'm glad I know that. Again, not everybody knows that. But more than that, I'm glad that I can wake up and I know the Lord loves me. The Lord loves me. And that ought to be a force in our life. And love is something that you feel. If you love somebody, it's a feeling you have for them. If you know they love you, it gives you a feeling. There's a feeling. Again, Baptist preachers have preached against feeling for so long that they've eliminated feeling. But I'm telling you, I like the way the love of Christ makes me feel. It's a feeling. Can you identify with the statement, the love of Christ constraineth us? Can you say that with Paul? The love of Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ loves me, that is a driving force in my life. Can we identify with that statement? Do you believe it today? The love of Christ. Do you know it today? The love of Christ. Do you feel it? The love of Christ. Isn't it amazing? The love of Christ is amazing. Isn't it a wonder? The love of Christ. Again, you can sit all day and you can think, how could He love me? You will never find a reason in yourself. I don't care how long you look. Somebody may come by and tell you and say, well, He loves you because you're a nice person. Or He loves you for the same reasons that I love you. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't. Just quit trying to figure it out. And just believe it. He loves me. There's no figuring it. Why? Because He wanted to. Why did He want to? I have no idea. For His own honor and for His own glory. But I'm sure glad He did. I'm sure glad He does. Do you know the love of Christ today? If you do, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in your life. And if you're here and lost today, that is your only hope, is the love of God. That is the only hope. God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved me. If you can know that today, that God so loved you that He gave His Son, and His Son is the only way to heaven, the only way to God.
Can you believe that today? Can you turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ today?